This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest, meatiest center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
There is absolutely no question that Kim Jong-un is a brutal ruler, and President Trump's detractors in the media were quick to challenge the praise he heaped on the dictator.
I learned he's a very talented man. I also learned that he loves his country very much.
He's got a very good personality. He's funny, and he's very, very smart. He's a great negotiator.
Really, he's got a great personality. He's a, you know, funny guy. He's a very smart guy. He's a great negotiator. He loves his people.
Several journalists pressing the president about dealing with such a murderous tyrant, including Brett Baer.
You know, you call people sometimes killers. He is a killer. I mean, he's clearly executing people, but he's still done some really bad things.
Yeah, but so have a lot of other people done some really bad things.
Well, many pundits, especially on the left, seem upset or outraged that President Trump would even meet with this guy, given his human rights record.
Yeah, it is upsetting to hear someone who's so bad be praised by the president, and that is something that is very worthy of coverage.
Who knew he was so funny?
But it's worth keeping it all in context, too. So we had a president who was absolutely bashing Kim a year ago when he was in Seoul, gave that speech that really took him down a notch. Flattery is a component of diplomacy. It's also a component when dealing with something as important as nuclear disarmament. And I think the president thinks that it is more important to have nuclear disarmament, even if that requires some flattery of a dictator, than to make this the time when you talk about human rights violations.
And on that point, Marie, I mean, you worked in the Obama administration. The press was largely supportive when President Obama met with Raul Castro and normalized relations with Cuba, major human rights violators. So this kind of screams double standard.
Well, what's been interesting is Republican leading commentators in the press were very critical of our administration for not, for example, raising human rights with the Iranians during the Iran nuclear negotiations. Some of those same commentators now are not saying much of anything about Donald Trump.
Sounds like you're saying there's hypocrisy on both sides.
Isn't that shocking, Howie?
It's also on your side.
Well, what's interesting is I think that Donald Trump's language, Molly's right, his language was so extreme, little rocket man, fire and fury. It's gone from one extreme to the other. Flattery can be part of diplomacy, but it was so striking, especially coming out of the G7 with our allies, where the president was so critical of someone like Justin Trudeau.
But
very nice to Kim Jong-un.
But Sarah, aren't there lots of legitimate criticisms being made by the press, such as, you know, this joint statement was kind of vague, didn't include anything about verification or inspections or deadlines, all to be negotiated. President didn't get much in return for suspending military exercises with South Korea. Those are not anti-Trump. I mean, those are the questions that journalists should ask.
They're completely valid questions. And Molly makes a good point that sometimes flattery can be good for diplomacy. I think the questions that journalists are asking is, where's the diplomacy? If you take a look at the way that
having a summit meeting with a leader that no American president has ever talked to, that's diplomatic.
It is diplomatic, but if you take a look at the agreement that's coming out of it, the statement that's coming out of it, some parts can be a little bit confusing. I mean, it says that they're going to denuclearize at the same rate that the United States is denuclearizing. I mean, that was not the point of this. It was to get North Korea to denuclearize. So there's a little bit of confusion.
Even the president said it was a first step, and we will have to see what happens. But, you know, some of this criticism comes from the right, Molly. Blogger Eric Erickson wrote that Trump antagonized the G7 and then made kissy face with a man who routinely murders his own people. Had Barack Obama done that, says Erickson, the Republicans would be demanding his impeachment.
And there is truth to that. And I think that one of the things that's interesting that's happening on the right is a separation between a sort of more militaristic, neoconservative, interventionist type and people who seem to be tired of that type of approach to foreign policy. You did see a lot of the same people who criticized Barack Obama meeting with Castro criticizing the way that Trump was with Kim. But there's this other stream that doesn't get a lot of coverage in the media, which is a more realist approach to foreign policy that does seek to have a different approach. I just want to say one thing about the media's criticism of the praise of Kim is it would be much easier to believe that they were genuine about this if they hadn't spent that entire Olympics praising the sister of Kim and talking about how sassy she was. And I think that people have a hard time believing or taking them seriously when they were doing that and then a few months later criticizing.
I always love Molly Hemingway's perspective. She knows how to bring it right into focus let you know that, you know, the double standard, yes, and hypocrisy reigns, and it continues to do so, and we all continue to call them out. Thank you for being with us. We've got more coming up here on Bill Martinez Live.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-676-9879. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests, wherever you are, I will find you. Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-676-9879. 1-800-676-9879. 30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
Bill Martinez, live.
Back with the America 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. Jay Stewart Ablon, the director of Think Kids at Massachusetts General Hospital, joins us now. We're going to talk about his brand new book, Changeable, How Collaborative Problem Solving Changes Lives at Home, at School, and at Work. And including all of us, if you're open to be changed. Dr. Ablon, good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here. Doing well. How about you?
Hey, doing terrific. I love your book. I'm going to tell you up in front, okay, full disclosure here. I like the idea of what you're presenting here with Changeable. You're introducing readers to collaborative problem solving, or as what you refer to it as CPS. So for our audience, help them understand exactly what CPS is and how does it work.
Sure. I'm glad you liked the book. Yeah. So collaborative problem solving is both a mindset. It's sort of a philosophy, a way of thinking about why people behave the way they behave. And then it's a corresponding set of ideas and, in fact, a very clear process for how to go about resolving problems and changing behavior and actually building skills as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, in part, it starts with, you know, how we think, does it not? I mean, you know, if we see things a certain way and this is the way we think, then we're going to act a certain way, correct?
You got it. And when it comes to challenging behavior, wherever that occurs, in homes, schools, in our workplaces, whenever we see challenging behavior, we tend to view it through the lens of conventional wisdom, which is that people behave poorly because they're sort of not motivated to behave better, or they enjoy it in some way. They're getting something out of it. And as you say, that leads us then to try to handle those behaviors with the typical things, incentives, punishments, consequences, things like that. And the reality is that those things really have been proven to be rather ineffective. But thankfully, due to a lot of research in the neurosciences for about a half a century now, we know why those things don't work. It's because conventional wisdom is actually wrong. Mm-hmm. People who misbehave, they actually don't lack the will to behave well. What they lack are the skills to behave well. Skills like flexibility, frustration tolerance, problem solving. And so when you look through that lens, it completely shifts your mindset and your ideas about how to handle problematic behavior in the first place.
Can you say that it's the way they're wired, and which doesn't mean that they'll always be that way? There's some rewiring that can take place, as I understand it. But sometimes for that moment in time where this misbehavior is being pronounced, we'll identify it as misbehavior just for the sake of the discussion here. But it goes to, you know, their mindset, as we were saying, it's how they think and how they perceive things. And this is probably why, as you pointed out earlier, why the traditional, prescription to fix that problem doesn't work.
That's correct. And, you know, now that we can image the brain, we can peer inside people's brains and we can see that indeed, yeah, some people are wired differently. And by the way, it's not a bad thing, because some of the folks who struggle with things like flexibility and frustration tolerance, who can be tough to be around, have incredible gifts, which is sort of the flip side of their greatest challenges, their greatest strength. But they are wired a bit differently. And I'm glad you're pointing out, you can change wiring. Mm-hmm. And the way you change wiring is with practice. So if someone struggles with skills like flexibility and frustration tolerance, we've shown that if you practice those skills, people can develop them. And I'm talking about practicing them in some of the most challenging settings with some of the most challenging people in the world. So, you know, we know it can work with your kid, your spouse, your relative, your employee, et cetera.
Exactly. Let's talk about some of the common misconceptions about collaborative problem solving.
Sure. I mean, one of the misconceptions, of course, is that it's sort of a soft approach to discipline. And, you know, it's funny when people invoke the word discipline, I think people forget that the word discipline actually doesn't mean to punish. It actually means to teach. So what we're talking about is indeed discipline here, but people somehow are under the mistaken assumption that this is being soft on challenging behavior. And I'll tell you what I've seen in all these settings that have applied this approach is that it would be hard to find a tougher approach than one that asks people who haven't been behaving well to engage with you in solving a problem so that it doesn't come up again. That's actually hard work, and it's the ultimate form of holding people accountable. So I think that's a misconception that actually really doesn't hold water once you start to look into it.
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned earlier, and you, of course, point this out in your book, that conventional methods for discipline, such as rewards and punishment, are not only ineffective, but potentially damaging. Break that down for us, if you would, Dr. Avalon.
Sure. It's a great question. It really, there's two reasons why, aside from not working, they can be damaging. And one is, we have tons and tons of studies, thousands of studies that have shown that the more you use a carrot on a stick to try to get somebody to do something, the more you actually eat away at that person's internal drive to achieve the goal. So if you use a lot of external reinforcers, it actually decreases their internal motivation to do what you want, do what you want them to do. Mm-hmm. The second thing, I think I mentioned this in the book, I think my grandfather, who's 101 years old, wise guy, he's seen a lot in his lifetime, he says it best. He says, if you give a dog a name, eventually they'll answer to it.
Yeah.
And applied to this work, what it means is, look, if you treat somebody like they're lazy, not trying hard enough, don't care, et cetera, don't be surprised when they start to look and talk and maybe even act that way if that's how you've branded them. And that's one of the dangerous things of using this carrot and stick approach, because that's, in essence, what you're telling somebody about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Is it a little bit of teaching someone to fish as opposed to giving them fish, a little bit along the same line there, to where you are enhancing and enlarging the individual's dignity?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's another misconception with this approach, that you're sort of you're doing the hard work. Not at all. You're actually doing the hard work of helping somebody to develop skills so that they can manage all these things more independently in the future. And I love the word you use, because collaborative problem solving is an approach that starts from a basic assumption. And that basic assumption is, you know what, we are all doing the best we can to handle what the world is throwing at us with the skills we have. And if we're struggling, it's probably not about a lack of will. We'd all like to be doing better. Right. It's about a lack of skill. And you know what? That's preserving somebody's dignity when you treat them with respect like that and assume the best out of them.
Yeah. If you're struggling, you're fighting for something. If you're not struggling, you're not even in the playing field. You might just sit up in the bleachers and just comment, right?
You know what? It's a very good point, Bill. Very good point.
Well, describe the three strategies for handling problems with others and provide scenarios in which each strategy would be most appropriate. I think this will help us, understand further, the CPS system.
Sure. What we try to help people realize is, this is nothing new, that whenever you've got a problem with somebody, and again, this is your kid, your spouse, your friend, your relative, a colleague, whenever you have a problem with somebody, you really only have three options. And in this approach, to make it easy for people, we call them your three plans. We call it plan A when you try to impose your will. You try to make the person do what you want them to do. And if you're in a position of power, that's easier. We call it plan B when you try to collaborate to solve the problem, so to work it out with them. And we call it plan C when you decide, you know what, I'm going to drop this for now or solve it the way they want it solved. Right. And, you know, each of them have their place. I mean, if you absolutely positively have to get something done and you have the power to impose your will, well, you can use plan A.
Right. Dr. Ablam, we got to take a quick pause. We're going to pick it up when we come back right there. Stay right with us. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. preparewithgcn.com.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go, while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
If you want to know how far the love can go, just
minutes after the top of the hour, a conversation about Changeable, how collaborative problem solving changes lives at home, at school, at work. Dr. Stuart Ablon is with us. Dr. Ablon, as you were just before the break, you were talking about these three strategies. So sorry I had to cut you off. We had to go to break real quick. So let's reconnect and remind everybody what we were talking about.
Yeah, so we were just talking about what we call our three plans, and I was reviewing that plan A is when you try to make somebody do what you want. And sure, there's a place for that if you're able to pull it off, if you have the power to do that. But the reality is there's some big downsides to that. Plan C, when you decide to drop something for now, well, that's going to keep the calm, but there's some downsides to that too, which is why the heart of collaborative problem solving is that third option I mentioned. We call it plan B. When you collaborate to try to solve a problem, and what we do is we break it down into three basic steps for people. And I think when people hear the steps, they often think, all right, that sounds a little too simple, right? How could that be that effective? But those three simple steps, along with the mindset we've talked about earlier, have been practiced in, again, some of the toughest settings. We're talking prisons. We're talking psychiatric institutions. Right. We're talking the toughest schools in the U.S. with amazing results. So apply these three steps to any relationship in your life, and you'll see some pretty profound things happen.
Mm-hmm. Walk us through an example.
Sure. So there's three steps, as I mentioned. The first step or ingredient is what we call the empathy step. And the empathy step is where you bite your tongue on your perspective on the problem or how you want it solved, and instead you try to gather information from the other party. You ask questions and you listen, and you make sure you understand their perspective, their point of view, their concerns about the problem. And only once you have that do you move to the second ingredient, which is when you get to share not your solution to the problem, not how you would want to solve it, but your concern, your perspective, what you're worried about here, your point of view. And only once you've then got both sets of concerns or perspectives on the table, the other party and yours, are you sure that you're doing this thing we call plan B? And then you're ready to move to the third and final ingredient. And that third and final ingredient is when you're inviting the other person to brainstorm solutions with you. You give them first crack at it and you ask them, all right, so could you try to come up with some ideas here? What could we do that would address both of our concerns? Now that we've understand where we're both at, our concerns, what are some solutions that would be mutually satisfactory and, of course, doable?
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the nice things about this is if you come to mutually satisfactory solutions, you not only solve a problem and reduce the behavior, change the behavior, but embedded in those three steps that I just mentioned is a whole ton of skills training. In other words, practice in flexibility, frustration tolerance, and problem-solving skills that if you do this enough, the people you do it with and yourself, you'll find you're developing all kinds of skills in those domains.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, Dr. Ablon, that I've been able to observe here is what occurs in relationships is a breakdown that negates a party. And usually it's the one that seems to be high maintenance. Somehow there's this disconnect and you're like these polar opposite magnets that come together and just zoom, they come, they go flying by and you just go, this is a high maintenance project. And then that person is left to feel a bit invalidated and unnecessary. And in this process, it reminds me of, that one line in the prayer of St. Francis that keeps haunting me about asking God to be better, to understand better than to be understood. When you understand, it opens up that communication, that channel, and then you're able to appreciate what their reality is. How are they perceiving? What is their thinking, their wiring? And then when you do that and they're validated, then they're more open to receive what it is that you're thinking. And I'm glad you said that in that conversation, you don't immediately run to solution. Because I can tell you, for me personally, that's one of my biggest issues, is I want to go to solution right away, as opposed to, going through that bit of a process. It does take some time, but it'll save you a lot more time in the long run. Take it from somebody who's been there and done that and frustrated the heck out of myself and whoever it is I'm dealing with, right?
You got it. I love there are a couple of quotes from Albert Einstein this reminds me of. One is he said if he had an hour to solve a problem, he'd spend 55 minutes thinking about it and 5 minutes thinking about solutions.
Yeah.
And he also says the formulation of a problem is often more essential than its solution, the understanding piece.
Right.
And, you know, you are speaking my language because what I have found, again, in the toughest of settings is, you know, people are always asking me, how can I get them to listen? Well, and my advice is, well, I'll tell you exactly how to get somebody to listen. Start by listening to them.
Exactly.
Listen hard to them and show them that you care, that you want to understand. And by the way, I always tell people that doesn't mean you're agreeing with them. Mm-hmm. Empathy means to understand. It doesn't mean to agree or disagree. It just means to understand. And if you understand them, you may not agree, but you understand them, well, guess what? Then you're going to ask them to understand you, and there's going to be a much better chance that they're open to that, which is
a little bit easier for them to understand you. You've gone through the process to understand them.
Exactly. Yeah. In the language of skills, you know what that is. The first step I told you about is modeling a skill, mm-hmm. and the second step is asking the person to then practice what you've just modeled.
Exactly. Well, collaborative problem solving is not just meant for parents, as we mentioned earlier, and teachers wanting to better handle challenging behavior in kids. It's also a very effective approach for problem solving in the workplace. Explain how CPS benefits adults in the workplace.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, incivility in the workplace is a massive problem.
Yes.
That costs us billions of dollars in terms of lost productivity. But the other thing is that, you know, when we manage people in the workplace, we typically use carrot and stick approaches to try to maximize effectiveness there. And, you know, a good manager should be somebody who is trying to build the skills of their supervisees and employees. And again, carrot and stick approaches don't do that. So here you have an approach that can not only help solve problems and reduce some problematic behavior in the workplace, but can bring people together to understand each other, work collaboratively as teams, and help build relationships and skills. And in the workplace, perhaps the most important thing, which is internal drive. That's
right.
What you want out of all your employees. You want people who are internally motivated to achieve the goal of the organization and are constantly bettering their skills to do so.
You know, you say incivility, not only at the workplace. I mean, it knows no boundaries, it seems, in today's culture. The demonstration of incivility throughout our culture today is so pervasive, Dr. Alba.
It is. And that's why, you know, I'm hoping that this book will reach a lot of people, because ultimately, you know, what we're teaching is, sure, it's a proven way to address some of the most challenging behavior, but it's also a way for us to assume the best out of people and to treat one another with humanity and compassion and respect when we have a problem with someone.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's on full display, and I believe the impact of this book could be. I know you're hoping that this might be you know, one of those benefits that could come out of it. I would think that certainly, as much as we'd be responsible for our own, you know, it's our own families, our own work environment, whatever it is, it just takes it takes just one person, one at a time, beginning to understand that it's better for us to understand than to be understood, and get through this process. And you've given us here in CPS some examples and a plan, a system where we could go out there and be the difference in our workplace and you know, in our communities. And we could only hope that this would take fire and engage our society as a whole.
I couldn't agree more, and I think you've put it well, because really what we've just tried to do is provide a roadmap, a framework for people that they can use, they can follow it, but it's not a technique. It's a roadmap for understanding others, being understood, and working towards win-win solutions to problems.
Dr. J. Stewart Ablin has been our guest, the director of Think Kids in the Department of Psychiatry at Massachusetts General Hospital and associate clinical professor of psychology in the Department of Psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Ablin, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem, and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live.
God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today.
Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. As always, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com for all the information you need to know. And we thank you for sharing a part of your day with you. Nancy Law was a successful executive with the National Multiple Sclerosis Society when her own health challenges began. She started having difficulty speaking. She felt fatigue and thought she had a sinus infection. Antibiotics didn't help. And when she developed numbness in her face and difficulty chewing, she knew something was wrong. Now, based on her experience with the MS Society, she suspected it was caused by a neurological problem and reached out to various neurologists who she knew through her line of work. Now, despite her connections, however, it still took numerous visits to different physicians' offices until she ultimately found one who correctly identified her condition, myasthenia gravis, MG. MG is a rare autoimmune neuromuscular condition that causes weakness in the skeletal muscles. Symptoms often begin in the eye area, but when they spread to other parts of the body, it is called generalized myasthenia gravis, or GMG. Now, GMG can significantly impact a person's quality of life, leaving patients fatigued from everyday activities or unable to perform certain daily tasks like, you know, brushing their hair or chewing and swallowing. And in some cases, symptoms can be life-threatening because symptoms of GMG can mimic other neurological disorders. Patients may be initially misdiagnosed or experience delays in diagnosis or treatment. Although there is no known cure for GMG, it is important for patients to speak with their doctors regularly about this, about their disease, and for those who have unresolved symptoms or show no improvement or treatment to be their own advocates to better manage their diseases. Well, June is MG Awareness Month, and Nancy Law, the CEO of the Myasthenia Gravis Foundation of America, is here to share her personal story with this rare condition, discuss the importance of being your own health advocate and speaking with your doctor about your symptoms. Now, with her also is Dr. Tahseen Mozafar, a neurologist who specializes in treating MG and a consultant to the Alexion Pharmaceuticals, who will discuss the symptoms, prognosis, and options for managing the disease. Dr. Mozafar, let's start off with you. What is generalized myasthenia gravis? I gave a little bit of a background, but we want to hear from the doctor. And how many people are impacted, and who is most at risk?
Thank you for having me on the show. And, Bill, that was a marvelous summary of the disease. Generalized myasthenia gravis is, as you mentioned, a rare autoimmune condition. The incidence is about 3 in 100,000, but it's a disease that persists, and as you mentioned, there is no cure for it. So patients continue to have symptoms. Even though it's a rare disease, in a tertiary academic practice, you can have many patients with this. Our clinic, for instance, currently takes care of about over 200 patients with this disease. As you mentioned, a lot of these patients start having symptoms with their eye muscles, but sometimes they can have difficulty with chewing, or as in Nancy's case, difficulty with speaking, or sometimes with shortness of breath as well. The message that I would like to get across is it's a very manageable, very treatable disease, and the treatment can result in vast improvements in quality of life and control of symptoms as well.
Doctor, I got to tell you, I'm encouraged to hear you say that it is manageable, because when we, you know, get a general overview of GMG, it sounds quite foreboding. But I know there's been a lot of advanced work in diagnosing and in the treatment of GMG. And we'll talk a little bit more, but before we do that, I want to get Nancy, bring her on, so that she can talk more about her personal journey. Nancy, good to have you here with us. Tell us what you went through.
Well, thank you so much, Bill. Thank you for helping us to raise awareness about myasthenia gravis. Your description of my journey was very good. You really have done your reading and homework on MG. I was like any other patient, scared. Even though I had experience with neurological diseases, maybe even more because of that, I was scared about what this could bring in my life. I knew it could be very serious, even life-threatening, but it was now more manageable and treatable, and there are options for people. We say MG is a snowflake disease because people's response to medications are different, and the severity of the disease can vary from person to person, but also even from day to day or week to week and how a patient may feel. So it's incredibly important, and I found once I was able to find a physician that I could talk with, I became a self-advocate, and I hope that all people, when diagnosed with MG, go and find information about the disease. Be smart. You know, I ended up having one MG crisis where I had difficulty breathing, and it was partly because I wasn't watching carefully enough the symptoms as my symptoms got worse. And so it's really important to work closely with a physician that you trust and to be proactive. So, I was scared. I was afraid I would not be able to continue with my career. I didn't really know what the future would hold. And I think all people with MG feel that way at that time of diagnosis. I hope people will go to our website, myasthenia.org. That's the MJFA website. Mm-hmm. And also to Alexion's site, talkgmg.com, where they give you some really good tips on how to talk with a physician and what are the questions one should ask to be sure that you're doing what you can do to live your best life with this disease.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Mosfar, I guess Nancy kind of laid it out here a little bit in terms of the uniqueness of GMG, and this, I guess, what makes it difficult to diagnose, right?
MG presentations can be very variable. So patients may initially present to an ophthalmologist. They may present to an ear, nose, and throat doctor. They may present to a pulmonologist. Or they present to their primary care physician. And the primary care physicians may not have enough experience with this disease. This disease has been around long enough that most medical school curriculum will cover this disease, and they at least have been taught about this disease. But unless they are seeing these patients on a regular basis, they may not be mindful of this disease. And that's why I would completely agree with Nancy that the patients also have to be their own advocate.
Exactly.
That's why I think having more knowledge about the disease, what the symptoms are, what the treatments are. Yeah, also, this is a disease where we use powerful medications that may have their own side effects. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important for the physicians, for the patients to find their a good physician who can keep track of their disease, but also be keeping an eye on side effects or potential problems with the medication.
Well, Nancy, what advice do you have for others about how to communicate effectively with their healthcare practitioner?
Well, finding a good one that you can trust, you know, who has experience in MG, like Dr. Mosfar and his colleagues, is a great start.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, making sure you prepare well for those conversations. That you, when you go into your doctor's appointment, your doctor has a busy day, and you're only going to have a set amount of time. Make sure you ask what's most important to you first.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you get your questions answered. Take a list. You know, don't just walk in cold. Don't waste time talking about your children or grandchildren.
Yeah, right.
You know, this isn't social time. So use that time, and then use that time well, and be honest with your physician. You know, if you're not taking your medication because you don't like the side effects, you have to tell your doctor that.
Exactly.
So be upfront, so you two can have the relationship that gets you to the right place.
Tahsin Mosfar, a doctor, vice chair for education and professor, Department of Neurology at the University of California, Irvine School of Medicine, and Nancy Law, the CEO of Myasthenia Gravis Foundation of America and Myasthenia Gravis Patients. Nancy and Dr. Mosfar, thank you so much for being with us to bring awareness that this month is Myasthenia Gravis Month, Awareness Month. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Take care.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. A recent survey found 65% of Americans use a rewards credit card, yet many don't utilize their full benefits. International travel expert Lee Abamonte explains how your banking relationship can boost your credit card rewards.
Many credit cards reward you for spending. I love the Bank of America Premium Rewards credit card because I earn 2 points for every dollar I spend on dining and travel purchases. Above and beyond those base points, I recommend you also check to see if you qualify for a banking rewards program to really maximize your rewards earnings. For example, if you're enrolled in the Bank of America Preferred Rewards program, you could earn between an additional 25 to 75% in bonus points with the Premium Rewards card, which totals up to 3.5 points for every dollar spent on travel and dining purchases. Plus, Preferred Rewards clients may be eligible for an additional benefits such as free withdrawals at non-Bank of America ATMs, as well as discounts on home and auto loans.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getmorerewards.
Money, money, money. Money, you gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. That's 888-794-1645. NMLS number 1136.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
Bill Martinez.
His personality is so magnetic, he is unable to carry credit cards. Even his enemies list him as their emergency contact number. He never says something tastes like chicken. Not even chicken. He is the most interesting man in the world.
Stay listening, my friend. Bill Martinez live.
Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day, just about 13 minutes before the top of the hour. Pam Whitehead joins us now. Pam is the projects manager, client manager for the organization, And Then There Were None. Pamela, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you. I'm well, Bill.
Well, you say your passion for life was inspired by a dramatic conversion in 09 and a revival in your heart in 2012. Before we get on to the topic here, I wanted to get a little bit more opportunity for our audience to understand who Pamela Whitehead is.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Well, I was born again in 2009 after living a life of addiction and bondage. And in 2012, I was inspired by an admonishment to post a pro-life status for 40 days before the election. And it was through that admonishment that I began to educate myself on the laws, the legislation, the current legislation in our country concerning the abortion rights of women, and it changed my heart. I suffered from my own abortion in 2001. I had a perforated uterus and ended up in the emergency room. So I was well aware of what abortion did to women, but I had no idea how many women were harmed by it.
Up to that point, let live and leave alone kind of an attitude until you really started doing, a deeper dive into abortion. Certainly you had your own personal experiences, as you just shared. but you started seeing other women involved. And this is the real heartbreaker, is that, you know, as some would say, you know, if even for one woman, that our passions would save someone from having to experience what we've gone through, then it's worth it. But we're talking, how many women are we talking about? Is there a percentage or a number that you can put to this, Pam?
I don't have a number, and the reason I don't have a number is because many complications aren't reported.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're finding through Check My Clinic. We've made Freedom of Information Act requests to abortion clinics across our country, and we found egregious errors, systemic issues, across the board in private clinics as well as in Planned Parenthood,
mm-hmm.
Where they're violating the laws that are in place. They're not following the current regulations and oversight that is in place to keep them in check.
Yeah. You would think if their heart was such, as they say, you know, to protect women, that, you know, they would be able to be on top of the most basic of care and consideration here. Certainly, they don't want to be held accountable. They've been able to dodge accountability because of political correctness and because of the, you talk about passions, the disparate passions over the issue. I had just written in a column here the other day that I think that's one of the biggest lies that has been perpetrated on women and on America in the 20th and 21st century, and that is that the body belongs to the woman. It's her body, and on that is founded the right, I guess, to murder some 60 million babies.
You know, it's always interesting to me when I have this discussion with someone who is on the other side, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can argue this from a women's rights position, or we can come to an agreement that this is a human rights issue.
Yes.
And we can't debate whether or not a fetus is human. That's scientifically true.
Right.
And so if we come to that conclusion that a fetus is a human being, then what we're dealing with here are human rights.
Exactly.
It no longer becomes a woman's rights issue. This becomes a human rights issue. And I don't think that there is a person on this planet who can debate that a fetus is not human. Mm-hmm. Everything reproduces a likeness of itself.
Exactly. Well, you were a U.S. Army vet. You worked as a medic and a lab tech for 20 years. We're grateful for your service and the defense that that you subjected your life to on behalf of us to enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy in our national security. So thank you for your service, Pam. Appreciate
that.
Some of this information, you know, we have to, because in the absence of fact, then we lean on anecdote. What I find most interesting, any woman I have spoken with that has had an abortion, and we've gotten to that level of conversation, they will tell me, they'll say, Bill, my child would have been 13 today, or my okay. child would have been 10. So to think that it's just a bunch of tissue that is ill-gotten and worthy of disposal, there's something much deeper, because if you, again, if you're concerned about the psyche on the women, I'm also concerned on the psyche of the men. I think the men have been, their hearts have been blunted. They've been kicked out of the picture. And I still maintain that there is going to be a huge cry out of Ramah, if I might say, and what the New Testament talks about, what happened in Bethlehem. I think there's going to be a huge cry from the males of America who realize that their children, their sons, their daughters have been murdered in this whole process, all under this big bag, you know, this big lie. There are some men who are coming to deal with that issue to this day, but I think it's yet to be an outpouring that we can't even imagine, Pam. And I think that when that happens, when we get down to, and there will be none, I think it's going to be that kind of revival. And when I say revival, you know, I know some people might hear that in the context of a religious experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that could very well be so. But I think a revival in terms of you, each individual heart and spirit, getting a reset to what their divine purpose, what their original purpose is all about. That's just me.
Right. You know, and now that we're speaking from a spiritual perspective, I feel free to share something. You know, in the beginning, the Lord breathed life into Adam. He breathed life into him. And when I think of revival, I think of the breath of God,
yes,
the mighty wind that comes that gives us life. Because until he comes and breathes life into us and we're born again, we are dead in our trespasses.
Right.
And, you know, when you speak of the fathers, it's so interesting. The church that I go to here in Katy, Texas, preaches to men, and we talk about fatherlessness and raising up a generation of men who will take their place. And on Father's Day, our pastor spoke about Malachi 4:6. It says, the prophet of Elijah, the spirit of Elijah will come. His preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children.
Right.
And the hearts of the children to their fathers. And this is the last thing we hear in the Old Testament before Jesus comes, you know, before the Gospels are written. So what you're speaking of is so true. It's absolutely true.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, I think a little bit adding, because I think it's there's a lot of components coming together to bring us to this point. I was blessed by the movie I Can Only Imagine. And what I've heard anecdotally is that the hearts of fathers are being turned to the sons and sons to the father because of this movie. You know, what Bart Millard, you know, so vulnerably shared with all of us. I mean, we knew the song forever, and we all had a different understanding of what it is. But now, as a result of the movie, it definitely takes on a different meaning altogether. And may God's will be done with it, because this is amazing. Hey, Pam, I also want to talk to you. We talked about, you know, what you're doing with checkmyclinic.org.
Mm-hmm.
And a big issue that came to the front here was a clinic worker, the heck with HIPAA laws. I mean, let's, you know, I want that girl's phone number. So,
right.
I got to text her, so I'm going to violate HIPAA law. I mean, this is just one of the many stories in the Naked City, as they say, that checkmyclinic.org has been able to find out about. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, we've made these requests to all 50 states, and in California, what we found is that normally there's not an inspection, or the state doesn't go into the clinic unless there's a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a complaint, then the state has to respond. With these HIPAA violations, we see a lot of them in California. They self-report them. And so this one was actually the result of a complaint because of the patient. And
right.
So it's, you know, we don't get new information. We just get the information that's available. And so this is, it's not a recent violation. However, it is systemic, so it's continuing across the state. You can see it if you look on Check My Clinic, click on the state of California. But this particular report, the gentleman just simply, he looked in the patient's file and took her phone number because he wanted to text her. And, you know, honestly, what we see is that many of these clinics, they don't employ staff who are qualified to be performing the jobs that they're assigned. That's in their inspections. You can see it for yourself. It's
right.
Not a, we're not just making that up. You know, it's written. They don't receive training or orientation. They don't have any competency evaluations, and so many of them don't even have a job description on file.
Wow.
They don't receive the HIPAA training or compliance requirements that are needed, so they really don't have any knowledge of rules and regulations because they don't have any experience either.
These are the people we're putting the lives of our daughters and our girlfriends and our wives in? This is ridiculous.
Right.
This is crazy.
That's
well, we got to leave it at there. To be continued, Pamela Whitehead on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Pam. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.